Good afternoon and welcome to Central Coast Voices. I'm your host, Fred Monroe. Our goal is to bring you credible and valid information and insights from diverse members of our communities. Central Coast Voices addresses how today's choices will affect tomorrow's community and how we will look at long-term ramifications of changes in our society, or in some cases, looking at things that are based upon lack of changes in our society. Today, our topic really is more about things that are changing in our society. We're going to look at the individual effects and collective solutions to climate change in a very interesting way. We're going to talk today with folks from SunWorks Renewable Energy Projects. It is a small nonprofit organization with a mission to help more people have solar in an affordable fashion. They really do a lot of things beyond that, too, because not only are they working with people to install solar in homes and working with nonprofits to install solar in their facilities, but they're also doing a tremendous amount of work with people learning how to be installers, both for their own solar or for part of the organization. So it's a volunteer effort. It's a fascinating organization. Their real strive is to get something happening that has not historically happened in solar, and that is myself, like many of you, have gotten that proverbial phone call from somebody who wants to sell you a solar system or lease you a solar system, and it's become less so now, but a few years ago, you would get the proverbial phone call, and they would ask you how large your PG&E bill was. If you told them you had a reasonably substantial PG&E bill, they saw you as a very good candidate. I can tell you my PG&E bill before I had solar installed was about $110 a month. And the people who would call and pitch me to put solar in my house would generally try and get off the phone as fast as possible after they told me that I did not really use enough electricity to make solar a viable alternative. In steps organizations like SunWorks, and it's something we're going to talk about today. My guests today are Tom Cabot. He is a board member for SolarWorks and a volunteer with the organization. Cirrus, and I got that wrong. It's pronounce your name for me. Cirsha. Sorry. Okay, Cirsha. I warned you that I would get it wrong, even though we worked on it. Cirsha Windy, she is a SolarWorks volunteer and a member of the California Conservation Corps. And Linda Seeley, she is a homeowner in Los Osos, and she has a system installed on your house. So this is a topic that, by the way, for clarification, this is important to me, that I make it clear that SunWorks Renewable Energy Projects is a nonprofit organization. So they're doing the best they can to make this available for people who fall through the cracks in a way of not really having solar available to them on the normal competitive market, if you will. We don't spend a lot of time on this program promoting a given product or a given service. And so when that question comes up, I wanted to clarify the fact that we're dealing with a nonprofit organization that's really doing some remarkable things. You can be part of this discussion. The phone number is 805-781-3875. That's 781-3875. Either with questions, comments, or your experience with this operation or other involvement with solar. So, Tom, I'm going to start with you because we have to probably understand why in the world someone would decide to start a solar installation nonprofit corporation.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Fred. So my name is Tom Cabot. I'm a board member with sunwork.org, and just wanted to make sure we get our name out there. There's only one S, I tell people, in SunWork, so we don't get confused with the for-profit company with the other name. So Ruben Veek is our founder, and he is a Stanford graduate who got the idea while in college that he wanted to do something to help solar reach another niche. And like Fred mentioned, that solar was already becoming attractive for the larger users, and Ruben was looking for a way to empower more people to pursue solar and to teach them more about it. And so he he put together the model for essentially bringing in volunteers, training them how to do the installation with him. And so on a typical job, there will be one of our trained leads guiding 1 to 4 volunteers on a roof, installing the solar and getting it done about 30% lower cost than most of the for-profit installers can do. And that made the solar cost effective for us to offer it to the very small customers. So we end up offering solar to folks who otherwise can't get a solar company interested in them, folks whose electric side of their bill is small because they're already efficient, and it might be anywhere from, say, $30 to $100 on their electric side of their PG&E bill.
Yeah. And backing up to my earlier comment, Tom, when we first looked at solar, or we were first getting pitched by people for solar, even with a $110 bill, and we've had solar installed now, I believe we're at about 4 years. So sometime back about 2014 or 15, when we'd get pitched and I would say, well, our PG&E bill is currently about $110, literally, people who wanted to talk to us about solar could not find the door fast enough. Their general view was, oh, no, this is not feasible for you folks at all. For clarification, the system that's on my house is not from SunWorks. It's actually from, SolarCity. It's not a big, dark secret as to who they are, because among other things, your founder, I guess, got a lot of his experience or some of his experience working with them when he was in college.
Right, that's right. So Ruben finished up at Stanford and then went to work for SolarCity for a couple of years and rising through the ranks to end up leading their install teams there as he got the experience necessary while he was in the background putting together the organization for SunWork. And then he founded the nonprofit in 2009.
Okay. Well, Linda.
Yes.
So you have one of these systems on your house.
I do.
How did that come about?
Serendipity. The lead who has recently moved back to San Luis Obispo went to Cal Poly, Brian, and was working up in the Bay Area for SunWork, installing installations, I guess they're called. in the Bay Area, but he really wanted to move back to San Luis Obispo. And so he thought, if I could get clients in San Luis Obispo to go for this, then maybe I could get a chance to move back. And so he got in touch with some of the people who are in the community choice program here, the local community choice program. And one of them is a very dear friend of mine who called me. And because I was trying to get solar, I bought a house about a year and a half ago. And I really wanted to get solar on it because I've wanted solar forever, but I couldn't afford it. And I don't use very much electricity. And so I had two different solar companies who came out to my house to talk to me about putting solar on my roof, but it would be like, and they said they would do it, but it was way more than I needed. And so instead of having, like, my bill was averaging around $50 a month, and instead of having a $50 a month bill, I would have had like an $85 a month bill for 20 years. Which I was like, oh, I almost did it because I really wanted solar. But then I was thinking, well, that would be idiotic to spend $85 when I've been spending $50. And so just out of the blue, I got a call from my dear friend who said, oh, there's this group called SunWork who's going to be in town and, you know, you might. So anyway, I got the opportunity on a Wednesday, and on that Saturday, they were at my house installing.
They didn't want to let you get away.
Right. Well, I didn't want to let them get away.
Okay. Prior to the program, when I was doing a little bit of pre-discussion with all three of you, you did imply that you would be willing to basically talk about how much it costs to do in your house.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So how many kilowatt system did they put in?
I was afraid you'd ask that. Okay. I have no idea.
Okay. Anyway, but how much did the system cost you?
It cost me about $5,000.
I'm flabbergasted.
That's how much.
Because I happen to have what's called a PPA, which is basically the system that I have on my house. Basically, for lack of a better way of putting it, this may not be the legal way to put it. We basically leased our roof back to the provider, right, and then we pay monthly for the power that they provide us, because that was a way to basically get into a system without having to come up with a large chunk of money. We were under the impression if we wanted to buy a system that we were looking at about $20,000, and our system is not much larger, based on what you're telling me your PG&E bill was, than what you were paying. So that was rather rather shocking from that standpoint.
Yeah.
So it was fascinating, and we'll pursue that a little further. Saoirse, how did you get involved in this?
Well, through my job with the California Conservation Corps, we have one of my supervisors recommended it. She thought it would be a good way for me and my coworkers to get into solar and also get our service hours, because we have to do 48 service hours as part of our year in the program.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just kept pursuing it because we did miss the first opportunity in SLO, and I thought it was really interesting. And so I kept pursuing it until another opportunity came up.
How much training was involved?
It was about 4 hours of safety training. And then when we did get to actually installing, it was all training the whole time for the full day. So I imagine every time I do, it'll be more training.
Tom, how many volunteers are there in San Luis County?
I think they're still recruiting pretty actively in San Luis County, and I think they've got 20 or 30 so far who've made it out to job sites and participated in an installation. Our typical installations might be a two-day installation on a weekend, Saturday and Sunday, and we'll have 1 to 4 volunteers each day. And what people do is they go through our 3-hour solar safety and solar basics training class, and then if they want, they can sign up to be on our volunteer email list, and they'll get an email once a month telling them the different installation opportunities that they could sign up for. It tells them a little bit about it, like is it a one-story roof or a two-story, and is it composition shingle or something else. So they learn a little bit about what each one of the jobs will be and where it is, and they decide if they want to go out to try that one out, if it's something they want to learn, or wait till the one that comes along that's just like the one they want to learn about.
Okay, so here becomes, this is for Linda, because here becomes kind of the punchline question in my mind, and that is, anybody who's familiar with Los Osos would probably generally assume that it's rather foggy for a lot of the time that the sun is out in Los Osos. So is that not an efficient place to put a solar installation?
It's a great place. Unfortunately, Los Osos isn't as foggy as it used to be because of global weirding. there's a lot of sunlight in Los Osos. And I don't know if you have to have... I think it might work even if there's fog.
Right. It still does produce some even in the fog, but not as much as in bright sunshine.
Okay. So you're not completely off the grid. I would assume most small residential installations would not be completely off the grid, so you're still tied into PG&E.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I pay $9.72 a month to PG&E.
And then once a year...
They figure
out whether or not they owe you money or you owe them money.
Yeah. Unfortunately, the balance isn't equal. They don't pay you for the electricity that you provide them as much as you pay them for the electricity that they provide to you, which seems kind of like not a very good deal to me, and I think that should be changed.
Right. So that's what they call now NEM2. It stands for Net Energy Metering 2, their second round of it, and there's about a 2.1 cent difference between what they pay you and what you have to pay them. That 2.1 cents for energy that you still consume from them, that helps pay for public purpose programs that fund other people's solar installations or conservation programs and things and low-income programs as well.
Well, then so. I don't mind.
Tom, so if I call your organization or hear about it and contact somebody from the organization, what is involved in the process and how do you decide whether or not something is going to be feasible for someone?
Right. So when someone calls SunWork or contacts us over our website, sunwork.org, they let us know they're interested, and then we have a quick phone conversation with them to learn more about the size of their utility bill to see if they're in the range we operate in. Then that's, say, $30 per month up to about $100 a month. Or if we'll also do anyone with any size electric bill if they're on the rate assistance programs like PG&E's CARE program. So they would also qualify. And so we discuss the bill size, try to learn about that, and a little bit about what that they own their own home and a little bit about the roof age. Turns out with solar, it's great to be able to install it on roofs that have a nice long remaining life. So if your roof is less than 10 years old, that makes you a good solar candidate. If your roof needs to be replaced in the next 5 or 10 years, you may want to do the roof replacement on that section before you get solar.
If you have any thoughts about this and you want to be part of the discussion, give us a call at 781-3875. That's 805-781-3875. When I was reading through your material that Christina, our producer, put together about this, one of the first things that occurred to me was that there may very well be a chance that the private solar market would feel that they are unfairly competed against by a nonprofit that's selling this. But my understanding, as we've looked at this a little further, is, and Tom, I'd like you to explain it a little further, that the small systems that you put in most cases, are probably not profitable for the commercial installation operations.
Yes, that's right, Fred. That's where we focus, is just on the smaller customers with the smaller loads who end up in the low rate tiers. And so for them, the solar model only makes sense if we're able to do it at a low cost. And the SunWork model is able to produce savings to them roughly 30% below what the for-profit solar installers are able to offer. And so that works out well, and we're able to stay out of the way and let the for-profit installers focus on the larger money-making opportunities of the bigger houses with the bigger roofs and the bigger loads.
Okay. We'll get back to that in a little bit. We have some callers here, so hold on a second. Melissa, you're on the air. That's Melissa from Atascadero. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I had a conversation with Mike Balma of SunWork yesterday morning, and he encouraged me to call in. I'm an outreach coordinator with another solar nonprofit called Grid Alternatives, and we do very similar work to SunWork, but the big difference is that we serve only disadvantaged communities and income-qualified homeowners. So we're bringing solar to folks who have the lower incomes and pay a bigger percentage of their income toward electricity, and we bring them solar at no cost to them. And so I heard your guest mention that some of everybody's electricity bill goes into funds for lower-income folks to get renewable energy, and we receive those funds and do that work in the community.
Are you based in San Luis County or Santa Barbara County, or where are you folks out of?
Our office is in Atascadero. However, we work, our organization works all across the state of California. Our local office works in Monterey, San Luis Obispo, and Santa Barbara counties.
Okay, great. Thanks for the information. The name of the organization again is?
It's Grid Alternatives. And would it be okay if I gave a phone number for folks to call?
Yes.
If they thought that they might.
Because my next question was either your phone number or your website. Yes.
Yes. So if you are looking to go solar but don't feel like you could afford it, you can call 805-792-8060, and we'll see if you qualify for our program.
Okay. Thanks
and
very much for the call.
I just want to give another shout-out to SunWork. I'm so glad that they're here in the community getting solar out there to more folks who need it. It's really wonderful.
Great. Thanks for the call. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
That's my backyard, and I didn't even know they existed, so that's part of my fault, too, on that. Sorry about that. But I'm glad Melissa called in and shared that with us. Okay, let's see. Jim from San Luis Obispo. Jim, you're on the air. What are your thoughts?
Hi. Good afternoon. Thank you. Yeah, my wife and I are signed up to do a project with SunWorks, and we're real excited. We saw their offering mentioned in a Sierra Club flyer, and I shot off an email to Paul, who responded very quickly, surprisingly so, and then I was subsequently contacted by one of his project managers, I think Brian, I've forgotten his last name, Noel maybe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Brian came out and was very thorough and professional, and we walked the building and looked at the roof, and he got up and measured things and put together a very nice proposal and got it to us, and we're real excited. We'd been looking at doing it a long time ago, but as Mint described earlier in your program, it was just not financially viable for us because our energy usage was, you know, below that $100 a month threshold. But you know, we want to do what we can as we get closer to retirement, and the system that they designed is going to do that. And it's not a very large system because we have a pretty efficient household with a lot of LED and complex fluorescence. But, you know, for about $6,000 out of pocket and about a $2,000, tax refund, about $4,000 net, we end up with a grid tie revenue neutral system, and couldn't be happier about it.
Yeah. So when are they doing the install?
Yeah, it's in a couple of weeks. I think we contracted with them as we were getting set to paint, and then we needed to tent our house, fumigate it. So we're getting that done ahead of time, so there was no risk of damage. But it's just coming up in a couple of weeks now.
Okay, good. So you had looked at solar options that you could, that were more a more commercial operation purchase.
Yeah, and it was, frankly, it was some time ago when, you know, the efficiencies weren't there either, and of course they were, you know, commercially installed. So the costs were higher, and the, you know, return on investment time frame was a bit too far out there, and it wasn't at a price point where it was something that we could do kind of closer to out of pocket, out of savings kind of thing. And this is at an attainable level where, you know, we can sort of self-finance and you know, make it happen, whereas before it was going to be, you know, north of $15,000, as I recall, some years ago, for us to get to the same place. So I think a lot of things have, you know, the efficiency and the cost of solar panels has dropped. And I needed to pull the trigger on it right away in case I had heard that there were some possibility of tariffs or, you know, costs going up on the solar panels. So we wanted to get it done quick.
Okay. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that.
You're welcome. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
So, you know, Jim brought up an interesting point that was one of the questions I was going to pose, and that is that the price of panels has started to decline. Is it declined because of technology? Is it declined because of more production? Because I believe most of the panels in the United States right now are probably imported from China. But Tom, can you shed some light on that?
Right. So over the years, the panels have improved in efficiency, and so that's been able to get more production out of the same panel. They've also increased in size, which decreases the amount of work it takes to build a panel, and so the panels have grown up to this roughly 35 inches by 65 inches size that's very common now. And then the efficiency just keeps improving bit by bit. But really, things took off a number of years ago when the German policy for feed-in tariffs started, and they created so much demand in the solar market that the Chinese ramped up to meet that demand and built so much manufacturing with modern factories at great scale. That drove down the prices for panels worldwide. So panels now are made worldwide, lots in China, lots in Singapore and other countries. And so in SunWorks Systems, we offer a menu of panels to the customer. They can pick what kind of panels they want from all the suppliers we can get panels from. So there's lots of ways to do it.
Okay. We have some other callers. So callers, if you can hold on, because I want to make sure we get some other things kind of on the table for the discussion. Saoirse, so how many installations have you done so far?
One.
Okay. Well, that's good. Then it's still fresh in your mind. Can you walk us through the day that was, or the days that was, to do the installation?
Yeah, I did a one-day installation, and it was at a reasonable time. I got up in the morning. I think it was around 8. Drove over to where the work site was. They had coffee ready, waiting for us. And it was just a nice morning. What did you want me to detail exactly?
Yeah. Well, obviously, this involves a crew of people up on a roof, mm-hmm. And probably some things done to make sure you don't fall off the roof.
Oh yeah.
I can tell you when they did the commercial install on our house, I believe it took them as long to hook up the rigging to make sure they were safe as it did to install all the panels. Which actually didn't surprise me and made me feel better, because I was thoroughly convinced that I'm allergic to heights, and when I see people up there, it makes me a little uncomfortable. So that process, but the safety factors involved in that make everybody feel safe.
It was actually a very short roof, so they gave me the option whether I wanted the safety harness or not, and I chose it.
Yeah. Wise decision.
Yeah. And so it was actually pretty quick for them to get it set up. I think it took like 5 minutes, put all the gear on, went up there. I'd say there was maybe a little time lost trying to like maneuver the cords while I was working, but mm-hmm. I think it was worth it. Yeah. It's pretty fast.
Okay. We'll get back to that. Let's see, on line 3, hold on, in Oceano, Brian, are you there?
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, this is actually Brian Noel, the SunWorks installer. I just wanted to chime in, even though I'm not officially part of the program, so I'd call in and just say hi.
Hi.
I'm very excited, obviously, about SunWorks being out in the Central Coast and me being able to move out to Oceano and make a home back here again. Linda's system, she didn't remember what size it was. It's a 1.7 kilowatt. It was just 6 panels, which is unheard of for a commercial installer. Oftentimes, if they'll come out to your house at all, they'll require you to put at least 8 panels for it to even be worth their while.
Yeah, so I'll interject
really
just a second.
There's no limit on how small SunWorks will make our systems.
Yeah, I'll interject for a second. There are 18 panels on my house, and I was told from the SolarCity people that was about the smallest at the time that they would consider putting in, with few exceptions.
Yeah, and that was with the lower efficiency panels. But even now, like with higher efficiency panels that are available today, it's like at least 8, and it depends from company to company. They might require 10 or 12 or 15 or whatever. Mm-hmm. For it to be worth their while. So for people who don't need a system that big, it's nice to know that there's an alternative out there. Do you have any questions for me as a project lead?
Well, when you're working with volunteers like Saoirse for the first time, I would assume there's some apprehension about how to make this work. And I was surprised that I'm not skeptical, but I was surprised that the training period for your volunteers is only about 4 hours. So you're either incredibly efficient and well-versed in how to get the information out, or you've got a really obviously talented people that want to learn what's going on. But I'm wondering, it seems like, I guess, is it a reasonably simple install then?
Yeah, when you're talking about a small solar installation, they do tend to be a little bit simpler. We try to use the most streamlined racking system that we can that's going to work the same for different projects. We prefer composition roofs because those are the easiest, but we'll also do tile for volunteers who've had a little bit of experience. And it's, volunteers, they come from all walks of life, all different experience levels. The training that they get, the four-hour training, is very basic and mostly focuses on safety. What they get when they come out to the install is on-the-job training. So my job is not just to oversee the project lead, but also be their teacher. And people are typically asking me lots of questions throughout the day. I'm overseeing them and making sure, testing their work, making sure that everything is done properly. I always tell the homeowners, if something goes wrong, it's not the volunteer who has to come back and fix it, it's me. So I'm very vigilant about making sure the volunteers do everything properly into code in a way that's going to pass inspection and last for the long run. But I gauge people's what the experience level they have, how mechanically inclined they are, and kind of give them tasks that are appropriate to their experience level, and then try to give them the knowledge to be able to contribute more and more as they volunteer on future projects.
Yeah. Linda wanted to interject something. Go ahead.
Yeah. When Brian came out to my house with his crew, he was so meticulous. He was there watching every single thing they did and explaining to them all the way through every single step. And one or two of them had already had experience on an installation, and they were very, very curious, and they wanted to go into the solar field. And so they asked a lot of questions. It was like, I wasn't out there all the time, and I did not actually, I made lunch rather than crawling on the roof. They wouldn't have wanted me up there anyway, guaranteed. But anyway, he did such a great job. And then he came back over to my house the following day and went through everything with me and showed me how to log on to my computer to see like how much I'm using and what are the peak hours and all that. And then I get a report every month that comes to me, or maybe it's every week, I can't remember, that says like how much I've used and how much I've made and all that. So I felt so secure with Brian being in the lead.
Brian, you have testimonials now.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye.
Let's see. I'm sorry. Tom in Los Osos, sorry to keep you waiting, and thanks for your patience.
Yeah, no problem. I am one in Los Osos. I have solar, and I can say that, yeah, it can work quite good in Los Osos. I've had mine for a number of years, and it puts out real good. One thing is you kind of want to, if you can, make it go a little more towards the west. That way it, by the time the morning fog burns off, then you're producing a little better. What my point I wanted to make, I am a retired union electrician. Worked for local contractors my whole career, and in the course of that, never worked for a primary solar contractor, that just there's a few that's all they do. But I have certainly installed and fixed quite a number of systems in this area, from say 10 panels on up to hundreds. So I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. And I love the fact nonprofits, volunteers, you guys, the more solar out there, the better. I think this is wonderful, even though in theory, yeah, it competes with people I've worked for. But the bottom line is we need more solar. One thing that people don't often think about, and I haven't heard it addressed yet by you, maybe it was at the very beginning, was the biggest, most complicated part of this whole thing is getting the line voltage power from the panel to wherever the inverter is. And that can be a pretty significant cost, and it can be quite complex. And that's, in my opinion, that's not a do-it-yourselfer thing. I've seen a lot of ones that were truly horrifying, you know what I mean? In electricity, just because it works doesn't make it safe or good, or even if it passes a inspection. So, you know, this, you guys, you're talking to today, I've never seen any of their systems. I'm thinking, I'm hoping that they're pretty darn good, but I just want to throw out there that when it comes to the actual line voltage part, and I'm not talking about up on the roof, hopefully they're getting some really well-trained professionals or subbing that part out.
Well, Tom, thanks for that comment, and I will pose that to the other Tom who's in the room with me, and we'll talk about that a little further. Thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Yeah, that is a probably a large concern for a lot of people, the installation of the inverter, running power and tying it into your what you've already got on the home with PG&E. How elaborate is that, and how do you guys address it?
So all of our team leads have years of experience already in the solar field before they come to us. So they've all been out installing for the other licensed contractors. And so they've done this hundreds of times. They know how it's done. And then we're a licensed C46 solar contractor shop. And so then we follow the codes and do everything in the required conduits and with the wire sizes that it takes for the size of system that's there. And then those conduits are run from the inverter back to the main solar panel, or excuse me, the main electrical panel of the customer, and tied back in through a new circuit breaker that's positioned the way the utility wants it to avoid essentially overloading any of the main panel.
Yeah. Saoirse, you had some comments in that?
Yeah, as a volunteer with no solar training whatsoever, it looks totally safe to just looking at it with no training. Like, everything is covered. There's safety gear involved. It didn't seem horrifying or anything like that. It all appeared normal, fine, and safe.
So it, from what Tom's saying also, and Tom on the phone's concerns were, a lot of the process is more specialized than just installing the panels.
Yeah. So the lead did take the lead in that, and we were present to watch and assist, but it was mostly him doing it, and we followed his words to the exact. He always had his eye on the operation.
Yeah. One of the, in Tom's call, one of the things that I thought about was the fact that some of the discussions about solar installations have been, this is going back a couple of years, I haven't followed this recently, is that one of the concerns was that PG&E and down in the area where they have Southern California Edison, that some of the utility companies are not terribly cooperative with doing the interface. So not what you guys are doing to put the system in, but when they actually have to approve something and sign off on something before you can turn it all on. Can you explain that?
Right. So PG&E does need to approve the interconnection, and so they're able to come out and look at it and see that it meets their specifications. Also, there's a building permit involved in all of these systems, and so we have the local jurisdiction have they'll come out and do their inspections, and then also in my area, the fire department also comes out and does their inspections to make sure that they have access all the way around it, things are hooked up the way they like, and that everything has the right signage on it so that their crew know where to shut things off if needed.
What community is that requires the fire department to sign off?
The one I'm familiar with is Menlo Park up at, near Palo Alto, where I live. But other communities may do that as well.
just for clarification, you're not actually a carpetbagger from Palo Alto. You're a Cal Poly engineering graduate, I understand.
Right. I got my start in environmental engineering at Cal Poly with an emphasis in solar thermal systems before going in for 35 years in the utility business.
Yeah, I said backing up. When did you graduate from Cal Poly?
1982.
I think in 1982 people were actually talking about solar engineering.
yes, we were. In fact, there were solar tax credits back then under the Carter administration.
Interesting.
That they had been put there, and then they came out under the Reagan administration when Reagan was in the White House, and he removed the solar system from the White House.
Yeah. Probably more political than we're going to be today, but yes, Ronald Reagan did remove a solar installation from the wolf roof of the White House. So. And if anybody has an explanation for that, I'd love to hear it. But I'm sorry. I shouldn't have invited that discussion. But one of the things that's come up in the discussion was that the type of panels that are being installed are more efficient now. They're larger. So I guess I sort of winced as you said that, because what that translates into is that the system that I had installed about 5 years ago is technically probably already obsolete. So is the technology reached a plateau that's reasonable to believe it's where we're going to be for a while, or what is happening with the technology?
We continue to see these incremental improvements in the silicon cell technology, and I noticed it just as a volunteer. I've been out on about 40 different installs with SunWork over the years that – at the same size panel, I keep noticing they're more watts. They're producing more watts over the years. And so where they were maybe 260 watts when I started, now that same size panel is producing 300 to 320 watts rated output. So they've just been making these incremental improvements, but some other thing may come along. I'm thinking really the next big improvement may be some energy storage at home that may be the next big thing in solar.
Yeah, I think whether you have a SolarCity Tesla system or some other system like you guys are putting in, I believe right now we're waiting to see what the Tesla battery technology develops as, because I guess they're on the cutting edge with what's available with that. It's still very expensive.
Right. So Tesla and a few other manufacturers, in fact, Enphase, which produces one of the microinverter systems that's probably the type used on Linda's house,
right,
and on my house as well. That company has also come out with their own battery systems. And then with the success of solar, it's producing something in the utility business they call the duck curve. And it's just so much solar has become cost effective. I was noticing the other day there are 10,000 megawatts of utility scale solar on the California grid, and another looks like 4,000 to 5,000 megawatts of rooftop solar. Together, all of that solar is really pushing out the amount of generation needed by other plants in the middle of the day. And so it may make sense for in the future to encourage more on-site storage of some of that excess energy for use in the duck head period, which occurs around dinner time, and that's when the sun is going down and our loads are going up, and some home batteries at that point could be very useful for help leveling the grid.
Redefine that, the duck head period of time. Okay. That's an oblique enough phraseology that I'd like to have a better understanding
of.
Sorry,
sorry about that. Okay. I think in graphs all the time. So if we look, the duck curve is the name given to a graph, and you can look up the California ISO and Google that duck curve and get a good picture of it. But it's the curve for how generation has to be dispatched to meet the resulting load after solar has been accounted for. And what happens is generators have to ramp up to a high degree essentially to help us cook breakfast in the morning, and everyone's getting ready for work and all that. And then the generators have to back off because the sun comes out and the load gets met by so much solar coming online. And then when the sun goes down in the late afternoon and evening, the generators have to crank back up quickly to replace all that solar. and while we were all cooking dinner. And that dinner time load we call the duck head load. But it's because of the shape of the curve.
Okay. Okay. That was duck as in quack quack, not as in tape. Okay.
Right.
So we got that. So from that standpoint. Well, that brings up an interesting, when you talk about that power need curve there, I'm wondering if we've we haven't talked about it, but it may have come up. I'm not sure if it's being looked at from the solar industry now. In talking about global warming with some guests and a couple of retired scientists and some engineers about a year and a half ago now, one of the things that came up was the AERS project, AERS, out in Tehachapi, which is the ability to use either wind or solar to basically create some gravity storage, if you will. The ability to the AERS project is by a company out of Santa Barbara that is working on small train cars that will basically be powered by current that's not needed during high production times, but will crank these rail cars up a track about 2,000 feet above the base, and then at nighttime or when high peak times are, the gravitational fall of the rail cars positively affects the power grid by basically basically taking power off of the wheels of the falling rail cars. Is anybody working on that you know of with solar specifically, or?
No, I haven't heard much about the solar rail car thing yet, but solar storage has been interesting to a lot of folks, and so there are these companies getting into essentially battery electric storage at home levels that could both help people move more of their load out into what will be the next peak price period. Those evening hours without sun will be the high-priced period of the day. And so being able to store some solar energy during the middle of the day and use it to not buy that expensive power later on will look cost-effective at the home level. And plus, I think those batteries may help give you more resilience if there were power outages, and also might help us do more of the electrification we need to do as we're getting more serious about fighting climate change. There's more things at home we need to electrify and get rid of the frack gas.
Yeah.
So I've removed my gas water heater and put in an electric heat pump water heater now that uses my solar electricity in the middle of the day. My heat pump water heater's on a timer. It just cranks itself up and stores that thermal energy. And so then I have that the rest of the day.
And maybe a good topic for a future program. So we'll file that away. For clarification, the Tehachapi project is a demonstration project that AERS is working on. And they're using a wind farm to currently operate it. And they're working on the potential for a full-size project or a larger demonstration project that would actually be able to provide power for couple hundred thousand homes, and that's a Las Vegas project. But if you're interested in that, the company indeed is AERS. If you Google Tehachapi and AERS, you probably will find information about them. The company's based in Santa Barbara. It was a fascinating topic that was part of a discussion we had with regard to global warming. So how does someone ascertain whether or not this is what they would like to look at? Because as we talked about in the early part of the program, Linda's experience was really very similar to my experience, just we had a different outcome because I produce a lot more power than you do, but it was still below that threshold. So a lot of people, maybe other than knowing what the size of their PG&E bill is, may not have an understanding of what's available to them. What's the starting point?
Well, one easy thing to look at is PG&E just raised its electric rates on March 1st. Now for the regular E1 rate, the lowest tier they offer is at about 21 cents per kilowatt hour. but the SunWork solar system economics work out to be about 7 cents a kilowatt hour if you divide the cost of the system by the lifetime energy. And so then the big question to ask yourself is, do you want to pay for energy once or three times? Because if you do solar, you only have to pay for it once during its life. And if you don't, you pay for solar three times during the life of the system you don't have. So the question becomes fairly simple for whether you're motivated to save money. And then the nice thing SunWork does is, since we can work on much smaller systems, let's say half your roof is shaded, maybe then no one else will touch it because they can't install their 10 or 12 panel minimum, but we could install a 6-panel minimum system or a 4-panel even, as low as we go. And so solar can be shoehorned in on that.
Yeah, actually, there's different ways to trade off. And obviously, with what you're talking about with regard to the price of panels, the ability to look at whether or not you may want to put in a slightly larger system to protect yourself. In hindsight, I don't currently have a hot tub, but my family would like one, and so we now need to look at whether or not there's a cost-effective way to add more panels at some point. Linda, you had something that you wanted to add?
No.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
I was just listening.
Okay. Well, as we know, we're getting down to the last few minutes, and I want to make sure that, as I say, and most of our listeners are aware of, I usually suggest for the last 8 or 10 minutes, I try and get out of the way long enough for you guys to talk about things that we may have missed. Sirsho, why don't we start with you? What do you want to make sure that people understand about both what you do with this and your involvement and why you got involved and where you see it going?
I just want to make sure that to all the young people in San Luis Obispo County that they know that they can get involved. I know a lot of people here are interested in environmentalism, especially coming from the California Conservation Corps, because we work with people from 18 to 25. I myself am 21. And it's just nice to be able to have a company like SunWork where we can get out, we can get involved. And I know a lot of the poly students are like looking for ways to get involved too, and I want them to know that it's easy. It's on the job training. It's easy. I want them to take that away from this.
Yeah. You feel your co-volunteers or people you're learning from too, that you're learning from each other?
Definitely. We're all learning as we work. The lead, because I think I was working with two other people that were also first-timers when I did it. And so us and the lead, we were working together, and someone would point out, oh, no, you're doing that wrong. Or I'd be like, yeah, that's how you do it. And we all work together to learn, I guess.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. Linda. Okay. You are obviously a crusader for this because you truly, clearly believe in what you did and how it came about.
So much. It just makes sense. And I wanted to say, I said that my system cost $5,000, but I forgot that I haven't done my taxes yet for 2017, and I'm going to get a 30% rebate on the entire cost. So I don't know exactly how much that is, but it's quite a bit.
So it'll be $1,500 off the $5,000.
Right.
So that'll be only $3,500.
I also am thinking about, at some point I want to get an electric car. And so I talked to Brian about that a few weeks ago. And he said, yeah, we could come back and put more panels. If you get your electric car, we'll come back and put more panels on. I will have to get another building permit. That's the one glitch. And that costs, I think he said, around maybe $200 or around there. I'm not quite sure. But that would be half. I mean, maybe I should have thought ahead and gotten more for my electric car, but I'm not going to be getting my electric car for a couple of years anyway. So for now, everything is good. And it works great. It's very attractive. My neighbors have noticed it, and people have come to me and asked me where I got it. And I've told them, and I hope SunWork is getting a lot of calls from them.
If it's any consolation, we had a guest on a different topic that has an electric car. And they were actually completely off the grid until he got his electric car and realized they needed to be back on the PG&E grid to make up the difference, because they had maxed out their ability to use their solar system. So it's interesting irony there that the purchaser of the electric car needed to get power from PG&E to power his electric car. I couldn't let that slide. Sorry about that. Okay, Tom, you pretty much, this is your bailiwick. You're the guy that really is telling us the most about how this works and why.
What SunWork wants to do is really just continue the mission we started in the Bay Area. So now, with Brian's help, we're expanding that down to San Luis Obispo. And at the crux of it, what we do is we empower people. We're empowering the small customer to get solar where they may have been overlooked before. And we're empowering people who want to learn about solar by giving them the chance to really get up and learn it hands-on with our teacher on site. They're guiding them through the process. And so it's really just a wonderful niche. And I was excited about it the first time I heard about it, and just had to get involved with SunWork as well. And we see lots of things happening there. And so we're very happy to be down here in the San Luis Obispo area now and getting a chance to work with this community.
Yeah. You mentioned something briefly, and we kind of passed over it quickly, and that was that you do work for nonprofits that need to do installations, and those would be for larger systems. Can you briefly talk about that?
Yes. That's one of the most satisfying things, and so I definitely get involved with the nonprofit cases. The reason we're helping the nonprofits is they don't get those tax credits, the 30% tax credit, because they're not having a tax bill to save money on. So their electricity system has to be a little cheaper. And so we're able to do that system at about a 30% lower cost and make solar affordable to nonprofits who own the roof somewhere in their organization, own a roof that they can put solar onto. So we've done a lot of them. We've done one up for a group called Rebuilding Together, which is kind of a Habitat for Humanity group in the Bay Area, for an animal rescue place, for a number of churches and synagogues, and recently for the Ecumenical Hunger Project in the Bay Area. So that's a lot of fun. We get a lot of community help. Each one of these jobs, even the homeowner jobs, they're a lot like a little barn raising because of getting community members out there working together to put something in. And then sometimes we even have the homeowners, they're able to come up on the roof themselves. And that's something they don't get to do with a commercial project. But with our projects, they get to come on the roof and even if they want to, help install their own system.
Yeah. And we've run out of time to talk about this, but one of the things I forgot to mention was the fact that you also will work with people who want to learn how to do it so they can do their own installation if they choose to.
Right. We have a number of volunteers are picking up the trade just to figure out how to do their own, and then they take it to other areas. Like a friend of mine in the Monterey area installed his system, and we don't reach there yet, but he was able to volunteer with us for a while and then get it in on his own.
Great. Thank you. Well, this has been Central Coast Voices. It's been a great program. I thank you for all being with us today. Thank you to Linda C. Lee and Wendy, and Tom Cabot. This has been Central Coast Voices. We're glad you're with us. If you want to suggest anything for a future program, contact us at voices@kcbx.org. We'll be back with you next week. Chris Kington Barker will be here, and I'll see you in about 2 weeks. So thanks for joining us today. This has been Central Coast Voices.